The calendar has not lied to you. It is, in fact, Big News Wednesday. And for that reason, J.R. Jackson's back. J.R., how's it going?
It's going, brother. I'm a little bit more awake today. I think it's the economy sized coffee mug I've snatched. I did two pours of coffee into this, by the way. I'm not even that much of a coffee drinker, I gotta be honest. And number two, this stuff doesn't keep you awake.
No. You know, I saw some study confirming once again that caffeine apparently like extends life or something. So I decided for that reason alone to continue drinking like 4 or 5 cups a day. That's good news.
I read an article but anyway, that Skittles keep you alive. So I've been consuming those at high rates.
I haven't read anything that specifically says they don't. So I'm gonna keep eating them. By the way, so I was watching the end of the watch list and there was a lot of great comments about the show. And then I was listening to the control room complimenting your choice of hat. That is a cool one. I don't like the sports part of it, but the dinosaur part I'm here for.
But you know what the dinosaur represents, right? Since it's sports. If you can, it doesn't tell us on the sides.
I'm gonna say Denver, Utah Raptors.
He's got an R. He's got an R in the middle of his jersey.
Yeah.
You were Raptors, at least. It's Raptors.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Okay. It's the Philly Deinonychuses. I don't know. It's some kind of
it's the Denver dinosaur, the last dinosaurs.
Oh, I forgot about Denver the last dinosaur. Anyway, okay, that's all the time for dinosaur talk and 80s nostalgia that I even barely remember. We've got a lot of news. I said it was Big News Wednesday, and it is in fact Big News Wednesday. Not only do we have a couple of, I think, low-key fascinating developments in the Special Master saga that's been ongoing now for what feels like months. Doug Mastriano, just as bad as we knew he was. And I want to give him credit, though, for directly undercutting one of the narratives that the right would like you to believe about their stance on abortion. So that's going to be fun. Let's see, we got these massive updates on Russia. Was there international sabotage? Are we on the precipice of nuclear war? We're gonna break it down. And then we're gonna be closing the show with a video that I was really hoping I was going to surprise JR with, but it's fascinating anyway, so we're to go with it. Marjorie Greene desperately wanting to be in the MCU. We're gonna show you the footage, the evidence of that in just a little bit. In advance of that, please hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already, so the people know we're live, algorithms, blah, 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 all that. And if you wanna send any messages to JR Jackson or myself, you can do that. You can tweet us, you can super chat us, you can comment, and we will read those as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
I think I am. I think so.
Okay, I think you're good. I'm sure enough that I'm willing to proceed, so let's do that. I want to demonstrate to you the absolutely absurd lengths that Judge Eileen Cannon will go to protect Donald Trump in this document scandal. So take a look at this. Judge Deary, who is the special master, who's chosen by the Trump team, special master being mandated by Judge Eileen Cannon, has apparently just discovered recently that he has been undercut for some reason that apparently made no sense to him by Judge Eileen Cannon. So what happened was, is that she apparently, in a very sneaky way that we're gonna describe, tried to delay the time it'll take until you eventually find out whatever it is that he's discovering. Because remember, every day he's doing work on these documents. And she originally said, you have to be done by the end of November, pushing it back quite a ways until after the midterm elections. He was appointed and said, I'm gonna be done actually in like a couple weeks in October. And in theory, he might even have interim reports, information that he would like to put out there before the final report is actually done. She tried to stop him from doing that. And I wanna give you the details. So he sent this thing to her, this is documented. You can find the actual text if you want. But in it, he respectfully argued that an order that she had done that curtailed his authority to submit reports should be overturned. And in fact, it was overturned. Now, the way that this worked was, you might recall, Judge Eileen Cannon initially, before Raymond Deary was the special master, stopped the DOJ from analyzing the documents. So they had seized the documents back from Trump, they'd recovered them, and they were looking through them. She stopped that. Okay. So that was appealed to the 11th Circuit. Okay. The 11th Circuit decided no, they can look at these documents. So because of that, Eileen Cannon needed to amend the order that she'd already put out so that the DOJ would now be able to look at those documents again. So she did. She decided when she did that to strike a portion that allowed for Raymond Deary to put out interim reports. Why? What does the one have to do with the other? Absolutely nothing, except that a couple of things have changed since she initially wrote that. Remember, when she initially wrote up this report saying Trump's team wants a special master, she obviously wants whatever Trump wants. She wrote it up. She didn't know who the special master was going to be. She didn't know what approach the special master would have to this investigation. She only had this construct that she had created, that she's going to stop the DOJ from investigating it. She's going to allow Trump's team slash the DOJ to choose someone, and they can look into it over the next few months, putting it off for some time until maybe people actually forget about this thing. Instead, what happened was the person that the Trump team picked was Raymond Deary, that they thought might be some sort of critic of the FBI or whatever. And it turns out that he's been more of a critic of their legal strategy, asking tough questions like, so are you actually going to get around to specifically claiming that they planted evidence or that it was declassified? And we're going to get to more of that soon. And that hasn't looked good for the Trump team. And by proxy, it doesn't look good for Eileen Cannon. So perhaps as a last chance bid to get him to delay what seems like the inevitable when it comes to this, she tried to block him from doing these interim reports. So he sent this message to her saying, like, they didn't request that you do that in the 11th Circuit. Could you resume that? And so now, put on the spot, she responded, implying that, oh, there's other stuff in the order that will allow you to do those reports. Okay, so he's going to be able to do the reports. Let's be clear about that. But if there's other things that let him do it, why did you specifically amend a specific portion that allows him to do it? Why did you take that out when it had nothing to do with the 11th Circuit? So I understand that for many of you, this is probably going to be like very inside baseball or whatever. And in comparison to the larger crimes that have been committed, maybe it doesn't seem that significant. But in the specific, like if you zoom in on what can she do to interrupt this thing, Eileen Cannon, the judge appointed by Trump, well, this might be about as much as she can do. And she is trying to max out her ability to interfere and delay this thing. JR, what do you think?
That is the whole point here. Delays, delays, delays. We've been hearing it from even the point of when she pushed this to a special master or approved that. And everyone in legal circles were like, maybe someone wants to throw her a hint and let her know this is making her look really bad. That is the entire point. Not to look bad, but to delay. And all of the things that come with it just happen. It's what it is. It's fine. It's cool. I'm here to work for Donald Trump. Whole point is to delay. Every time any legal thing hits any of these folks, from Steve Bannon to Donald Trump, who neither one are running for office, they shout about the midterms. Bro, you're not on the ballot. Why are we concerned about your legal issues in the midterms? This judge apparently cares about that as well. So when you see the actions and the activity that goes into all these moves to try and delay and make sure every step of the way, this is a new hurdle in the way of this, it's obvious that the whole point is to protect Donald Trump. This is a judge. This also illustrates the reasons why when Donald Trump was in office and that one judge ruled against him, he goes, well, he's Mexican or Latino or something. Of course he's gonna rule against me. This is his thought process with judges. He's always said it. I get to appoint my judges, and once I appoint my judges, they work for me. He thinks judges work for the person who appointed them. Not that, oh, maybe they have particular leanings because this guy who appointed them likes the way they think or they likes their judicial approach to the law. All that stuff doesn't mean anything. All that just means is she is my appointed judge who's there to do what I tell her to do, even when you're not in office, even when you're faced with all these types of charges. And finally, I'm glad people are starting to point out and see these holes in her argument that continue and continue. At what point are we going to finally say everything about her is a big red flag? Everything.
100%, yeah. Yeah, and when is she in theory gonna recuse herself from continuing to rule on it? Like this is not the first time that she's shown that she's incredibly biased, and she really does see herself as only there to serve the Trump team. And by the way, I get predictions wrong all the time. Let's keep that clear. But I don't think she's recusing herself. That would be my prediction. And by the way, if you see either this specific update or the topic in general to be like, maybe you partially agree with Trump that it shouldn't serve as a distraction from the midterms, I get it. I personally think that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. But we should also identify when the justice system is delivering something that is miles away from justice.
What are we distracting from? what's happening in the midterms that's distracting?
Well, going I mean, look, there are other issues.
Voting? What am I distracted by? I'm standing in line. I'm putting my vote in the mailbox. So if I hear about what's going on with Trump, I go, oh, what's this piece of paper in my hand? I'm hearing Trump's name in the news. What does that have to do with me holding my piece of paper?
You're right. You're right. I'm trying to, like, I understand some people that there's other, like, we're going to be talking about abortion rights in a little bit. We're going to be talking about the war later. I know for some people, those are obviously more important topics, and I get it. But, you know, we don't cover just one topic a day. So anyway,
bro, they talk about inflation and the economy and then the Russia, Ukraine. They list 17 other things that people are supposed to be concerned about, but we're distracted by one thing. Sorry, I'll stop talking.
The one that they don't want. Look, there's a reason why we start off every damage report pre-show with a breakdown of COVID numbers and gas prices. We're trying to stay focused on everything is what we're trying to do. Anyway, with that said, let's turn to a little bit more fun on this topic. We're now finding out that the Trump legal team apparently had a number of objections to Raymond Deary, the special master's initial plan for what he was going to do as special master, what the timeline was going to be. What they objected to is interesting, but even more interesting than that is the fact that we were never supposed to find out about these objections. It was made behind closed doors, and the only reason we know about it is because the DOJ effectively hasn't played ball. What they did was they responded to the objections to the court, but they didn't make theirs hidden. And all of the context of what was requested by the Trump team is made clear in the DOJ filings. And I think it's amazing, not only because it's funny and it makes the Trump team look bad, but also it really tells us how much faith the Trump team has in the only plausible defenses in this document scandal. And so this new filing by the DOJ revealed that Trump's lawyers objected to the special master's request that they verify the search inventory filed by the DOJ. So they are told by Deary, you have to look at this inventory of things that were taken and you have to say if it was accurate or not, okay? They didn't want to do that. That effectively dared Trump's team to assert that the FBI planted evidence. They haven't asserted that, not legally. They've implied it, they've bleated it on Truth Social, they've said it on Newsmax or whatever, but they haven't said it where there are legal consequences if they're lying. So that was, I think, a very reasonable request by Raymond Deary. They didn't want to do that. Also, Trump's team objected to Deary's request for them to explain whether they're claiming attorney-client privilege or executive privilege or both or whatever. Eileen Cannon, interestingly, declined to make any sort of distinction between those things, whether they in any way apply to this matter. She punted on it, perhaps, again, understanding how dubious those claims are. So Raymond Deary is like, well, you guys keep talking about this. Would you like to clarify it? And they had an issue with that. And again, it's not just these issues. We've known that they don't like both those things. It's that they didn't want people to even know that they were complaining about this. That's why they made it hidden. And, you know, credit to the DOJ for effectively, in, you know, sort of by proxy, leaking that. Now, there was a third objection, okay? And we don't specifically know what that was, but the context of what the DOJ filed implies that it has to do with the general topic of when other materials that are not being declared to be classified should be returned. They apparently didn't like something about that. Now, if I'm being super generous, I could say maybe they want the stuff to be returned sooner and the DOJ is saying we need to hold on to it for longer. I think that would be a justifiable reason to have an objection to that. But it might also be that Raymond Deary, again, as with the others, he might be saying, I want you to be specific. Don't just say they took stuff. Tell me what it is and why you need it back. And again, it would be requesting them to go on the record. This is speculation on my part, but I think it seems reasonable based on the other actions of the Trump legal team. So those are apparently the three things they had objections to, JR, and they didn't want us to find out about it, which signals to me that they don't think they have a case on any of these matters.
I thought you were gonna say, which signals to me this is all bull, because that's
I'm getting that signal.
It's the thing, these are like children that are playing, you know, Easy Bake Oven, you know, in the room. And you go, oh, look, I can go into the real kitchen and turn on the fire itself. Bro, you're in the real deal now. They think they can take these same childlike toy legal arguments and put it in front of a judge. And they'll go, well, we're representing Donald Trump. Like, he's like a king of the world. Everyone has to listen to him. So when you're in this deluded point of view, from the judge to his attorneys that keep quitting or not getting paid or get disbarred, all of them have to go through this same childlike approach because they're following a child. If your God is a child, then you're going to say childlike things. And when adults come in the room and say, this doesn't make any sense, I'm supposed to do my job because my job is not to prop up your legal arguments. They go, what's going on here? This worked in the room on the easy bake oven. How come this stove is hot? Because it's real now. And they realize it once they get burned. But at least once they get near the fire, they're noticing this is getting warm. Let's not really go there because the fire is going to actually engulf us. But I don't know what the end game is going to be here. They keep getting pushed back and pushed back. So they're going to exhaust every opportunity possible. Because again, going back to the original theme of what they're trying to do is delay. But none of these things are working when it comes to actual legal arguments. I can't wait for this next shoe to drop, which I keep seeing headlines about. Oh, the Trump legal team is waiting for the next thing to happen. They're worried, they're afraid. They probably are, but they don't really have much of a preparation for it. Maybe they're hiring the next news anchor from some conservative cable network to represent him next. Has anybody seen Rudy Giuliani? Where's Rudy?
Rudy just received news that he has to pay almost $250,000 in back alimony payments to an ex-wife of his. So could you just give him some time, JR? The dude is like frantically cranking out cameos to pay for this. Anyway, I want to give a little update on a Trump related, but not specific to Trump, thing that a judge did that I think is important, especially looking forward. But let's set it up. For some time now, many Republicans, not just pundits, but politicians too, have been predicting, and I think it's fair to say, threatening violence if Donald Trump is indicted, if Donald Trump goes to jail, if Donald Trump is barred from running for office again. And I'm talking about some specific people you might remember. Senator Lindsey Graham drew criticism for predicting there would be, quote, riots in the streets if there's any charges against Trump by the DOJ. Trump himself, of course, has multiple times said variations of the temperature has to be brought down in the country. If it isn't, terrible things are gonna happen. And of course, he's done nothing to take down the temperature. And of course, he didn't say that if things, terrible things happen in the streets, that would be unacceptable. And he would immediately denounce any of his supporters who did that. I guess he was thinking it, but not saying it. In any event, that has now led a judge to comment on this commentary. This happened at the sentencing of a Capitol rioter. Judge Amy Berman Jackson rebuked these Republican leaders, including Lindsey Graham, saying they cagily predicting or even outright calling for violence in the streets if one of the multiple investigations doesn't go his way, with his being Trump. The judiciary has to make it clear, she goes on, it is not patriotism, it is not standing up for America to stand up for one man who knows full well that he lost instead of the Constitution he was trying to subvert. And look, I think that this is important, it's a good sign. But of course, what Judge Amy Berman Jackson says, few will hear. And of those, if they're MAGA people, they're not gonna care. This would only inspire them more. We're gonna get to the growing support specifically for lethal political violence in just a moment, JR. But it's good to at least note that, like, as we take these steps towards all out fascism, there's at least some people in positions of power who seem to take it seriously.
I worry that sometimes, you know, these types of statements or even from a judge like this is it's going to get put in the sections of history where there was a few dissenters, you know what I mean, which there was plenty. But then the ones that point out here, what is this leading to right now? It's a good, you know, it's a good standard, a thing that's we can refer back to, that there was people who were pushing back on this guy, whatever it is that comes from this or whatever kind of potential violence that they're plotting. And expecting their followers to continue advancing. If that does happen that way, all we got is them kind of saying it. What's the actionable thing next? Because that's why people are so impatient with wondering when indictments are gonna come down, or wondering when the Department of Justice is finally gonna do something about this, with all this evidence that everyone's seeing in front of their faces. Because there's plenty of Americans who don't have the time, energy, or concern to keep looking at every aspect of this moving from what next step to the next step to the next step. And I think these folks in the Trump circles know this. So, you know, there's enough smoke screens and declarations and appearances on Sean Hannity's show and rallies that's what gets noticed. not these little nuanced things and changes back and forth and a special master versus then this one judge and then the third judge. People, man, they lose interest real fast on this stuff. So the only thing they see is the violence part. And hopefully there's an actionable response to that versus just saying, I object.
Yeah. It seems like it would be a bad thing if people were killing their political opponents in the streets. I mean, look, that again, just saying that stands out. If there were other people saying it, I'd cover it. But yeah, you made a great point. I share your concern about people moving on. I mean, what we have learned more than anything else since 2015 is there is nothing that cannot be normalized. Not at least in America, not in this period. Anything can be normalized. And you might recall how many people were terrified of all of this, the anti-democratic stuff, the political violence on January 6th and 7th, and maybe the 10th. Maybe the 14th, but by mid-February, there's a little bit less and a little bit less in March. And then are there people that still care about it? Sure. Some of you watching this, I'm sure, care. But it's certainly less people than there were a year and a half ago. And that seems like an issue.
Real fast, John.
Especially in light.
You did Roger Stone yesterday, right?
We talked about a video or two of his, yeah.
Yeah, so they were talking about what they're going to do. And then F the voting, here comes the violence. I'm not sure if you ran that one. But
we did, yeah.
This is the idea. We saw that happening then. The response. It was either undercover, we didn't know about it, many folks did, but it happened the way it was gonna happen. We're seeing it again, or potentially in different scenarios. So the question is we know they don't care about the legal process. He literally said, let's just say he's the guy, F you, get out of here, I'm gonna arrest you. That's dictator type of stuff, right? This is what they're looking for, if you don't care about the law. And then the other side is, go over here tossing legal things at you. They're gonna go, who cares? We broke the law a long time ago. We're just waiting for enough people to realize it or not and actually hold us accountable. The legal people holding us accountable, whatever, we can delay you long enough. We don't actually care about that. You know, it's like they wonder if someone's swearing on a Bible, if they don't believe in God, what does that do for them? There's a legal thing behind it. They will go to jail. They don't care about offending God.
100%. Okay, let's turn briefly to this because I want to make sure that people know about this. We know that political violence in America has become normalized far too much. And we occasionally cover surveys asking people what they think about the topic. But this one might be the most terrifying that I've seen because it is so specific and so personal what they asked people. This study is by the University of Chicago's Chicago Project on Security and Threats. They did the study talking to a bunch of people. 5% of overall respondents said the use of force is justified to restore Trump. Almost all of those people said they were willing to participate in that violence, even if it means killing. So look, the number, the percent who say violence is acceptable is lower in this study than in some. But when they're specifically asked, will you kill people to put Trump back into office? Nearly 5% said, yes, I will do that. And I have no idea if this is actually representative, if you can plot this over the entire population. But if you can, in a country of more than 300 million people, that's millions of people who are willing to personally kill so that a former reality show guy who sold steaks at Sharper Image can be president again. And that should send a shiver up your spine. We've got more numbers. 3% of respondents agree with the statement, quote, I would participate in the use of force to restore Donald Trump to the presidency. A number that went up once you made the statement more specific and said, even if some people are injured or killed. Which, that's bananas. I understand that there can be variation across these things. But the idea that the more specifically lethal and threatening you make it, you get a few more people to sign on than when it's vague, I guess. Independents were just as likely to espouse or promise participation in violence. They were nearly twice as likely to say the use of force is justified to prevent the prosecution of Donald Trump over the document specifically. 9% of them said that versus 5% of Republicans. 6% of Democrats agreed with that one. So there's crazy people all around, but there's even more independents than Republicans, which imply to me that you should always bear in mind, do not simply accept the never specifically stated definition of independence that the mainstream media would have you believe, okay? Independent and moderate does not mean what they imply that it means. Those independents who would kill for Trump are not just reasonable people who have a moderate stance on that and a moderate stance on that and some Republican views and some Democratic views. They're independent of the Republican Party, not because they're halfway between the two, but because they consider the Republican Party insufficiently insane at this point. That's my takeaway, JR. What do you think?
It's a good thought process, because I hadn't thought about that way, because we do fall into that trap. You know, if they're independent and they're independent thinkers and they're somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle could be 5% away from the far right of the party. They're like, I'm an independent, or they don't want to have to deal with then someone saying, you're Republican, right? And then they know what's going to come from that. So what do you believe in? This, and that? It absolves them from those discussions, but then allows them in their own brain, in their own voting processes, and apparently in their plans for violence, to also join those same folks that they disavow or say that they're not a part of. Now, one really quick thing. This is reasons why I think you'll have the propaganda of, look how big my crowd was. This rally was insane. And then you end up seeing it at the places, you know, 25% full. There's a lot of people who will bark and say, I'm willing to fight. Yeah, I'm going to go and kill these people. F them. But then once the fight comes, they're running the other way because they're cowards. We already know that. Okay. But if enough of this pack of dogs is barking and charging, even the little chihuahuas will be running behind them too and be like, yes, I'm a part of it. It's January 6th, basically. You talk about how big the crowd is and everyone's rallied up to do this thing. It gets people who would say they do it actually ready to do it. If they only see 12 people doing it, they're like, forget that. I'm not dying for this guy. But they don't think they're going to die. They think they're going to kill.
Yeah, it's all, and the right understands this. They understand how mobs work, and that's why they're trying to whip people up into a mob. And by the way, you might need millions, I guess, to take over the country, which will never happen. But you don't need millions to commit a couple of random acts of mass violence. You only need a couple. And I don't know if it's 5 million people are willing to kill for Trump. I don't know if it's 3 million. I don't know if they're way off and it's 500,000. But it ain't zero. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay, with that said, we're going to take the first break of the hour and we come back. I know you watched some of these, JR, but we've got these awesome videos at a Trump rally. David Schuster went there. David Schuster, apparently the only man that gets people at a Trump rally fired up more than Trump himself. We'll show you the evidence after this. With all that said, we've got so much to get through in this block, so let's jump right into it, starting with this.
Cue number 17. President Trump repeats 17 over and over, even when it's inaccurate. He's been giving us hints and clues from day one.
So Donald Trump knows who Q is?
Absolutely.
Why doesn't he come out and tell all of us?
It's a process of waking up the American people. It's the blood of an innocent child that are scared to death and then is extracted from their head, from their brains and their bodies, and it's used as a drug.
And who's doing that?
Joe Biden, Hunter, Clintons.
So the Clintons and Joe Biden that are extracting the blood and trying to make drugs out of it?
That's right.
Well, we know that Donald Trump was friends with Jeffrey Epstein.
About everybody in the country, in the world was. You let people give them enough rope to lie and lie and lie about QAnon. When all along, if they were smart enough to read the Q drops, they would find out all you had to do was ask, who is Q?
You know who Q is. I don't know who Q is. I don't have my computer here to look at the QAnon drops, the Q drops. So can't you just tell me?
Ask President Trump.
Look at the Supreme Court.
Well, the Supreme Court hasn't accepted any of these cases either.
How do you know that?
Because they have a docket and they list what cases they review and they issue their opinions.
You choose to believe that, you can believe that, but I have alternative news and I find out differently.
Alternative news. Find out, doing your research. We know what that means. Those are people that David Schuster did a great job interviewing outside of a Trump rally. Just excerpts from a number of awesome videos available at Rebel HQ. So go watch David's content there. They are full on, like they have brain worms. They're like, no, but it's important that you understand that when we talk about, like, we'll cover an article that shows some memes of Q that people are spreading. This is not just a thing that like a bot throws up on Twitter. These are specific people. These are the people standing in front of you at line at the grocery store. These are the people you drive past every day. These are your uncles, your nephews, probably not that young, but no, they really do believe this. And there is literally nothing you can do to get through to them. It doesn't matter how many years the QAnon thing has been going on. It doesn't matter that we already know that Ron Watkins apparently was QAnon. That he never knew anything, he was just making it up. They will not even consider the possibility that nothing specific was ever said in any of these Q drops. No predictions were ever actually accurately made. They were just vague assertions that Trump had everything in hand, that not even Trump bungling a pandemic and then losing the election along with dozens of court cases can get through to them, that maybe this guy doesn't actually have everything in hand. Maybe he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't have a plan, but they believe it. And Trump, importantly, who has previously sort of given a wink and a nod to QAnon, he routinely bleats QAnon memes on True Social every single day. Lots of them. Really bad ones too. It's S-posting. They're horribly made. Graphic design is very much their passion. But he's spreading it constantly. Just Q on his chest. When we go, one we go all. Him cradling a baby, threatening violence against the Democrats. So JR, he is 100% encouraging this. And I don't know how we're supposed to save these people.
As you see them running out of supporters or people that are willing to buy the BS, you have to go to a lower and lower and lower source. And this is it. So there's supervillains that of course are randomly only associated with the last few administrations or people that you hate in the Democratic Party. Because I thought it was the deep state. So let's go to the deeper state of all of these folks that are within Washington that are running the levers of government. The same ones who were still there when Donald Trump was running the country from his administration, right? So wasn't he also affected by these deep state? Did he clean the whole deep state out, or did they all come rush back in once he lost the election? None of it has to make any damn sense. Whether or not Ron Weasley is exposed himself as not the leader of Q or not, they don't have to believe that. Who cares? Who cares? As long as we're still pushing the same whatever acronym they've got, where we all go, we're all stupid to follow behind. That's the whole point. That's why that slogan means so much to them. Where we one go, we all do the same stupid stuff. That's the plan. That's all it takes. Man, this is way too easy of a takeover of a bunch of vulnerable, gullible people than you could imagine. It was fun while we watched it, but these are the people, as we just talked about a minute ago, that will then be asked, hey, therefore, where we all go. Are you willing to kill for this stupid belief system that you've got? And they go, yes, because we've got nothing else in this world. We've been depleted of all of our lives, our funds, our housing, anything like that. We're just desperate. Time to start going kill. You think that's not part of the plan when it comes to causing chaos within the country and saying that those other guys are coming for you? This is the plan, man.
Yeah, no, you're right. Depleted of money, depleted of adrenochrome from our brains. Because Joe Biden is drinking our brain fluid. No, seriously, this is what they like. There are, I don't know, 6,000, 7,000 people watching live right now. I defy you to come up with something crazier than Joe Biden is harvesting the hormones of babies as a drug. And if you can convince someone to accept that, you can convince them of anything. Or more importantly, you have convinced them that nothing matters, that facts don't matter, reality doesn't matter. You're on some Telegram group and you will believe literally anything they say or anything Ron Watkins posts anonymously on 4chan or whatever. It's just whatever feels good to believe, you will believe. I hate Joe Biden because Tucker told me to. So I don't know, he's a Satanist, that feels good. He's a Satanist now, he's a pedophile. Feels good to think that the people I hate is pedophiles, because I don't want to have to actually think about like where our values might be different, where they might overlap, where our policies might differ and where they might overlap. That takes a lot of cognitive effort. Believing that everyone I disagree with is a satanic pedophile who drinks baby girls' hormones, that's easy. And man, these people love living an easy life mentally.
Here's the last part of that stupid logic, by the way. The last part of that logic is he has cognitive issues. He can't walk, he can't speak, he can't breathe, he can't drink, he can't eat without assistance. But he's siphoning babies' brains out of their heads and using them for his lunch every day. Which one is it? Is he decrepit or is he a supervillain? It doesn't matter.
Oh, JR, he specifically can still walk and bicycle because of the rejuvenative power of adrenochrome now available at Shop TYT. I'm kidding. You can't get hormones at Shop TYT. You can get the limited edition Join the Thunder t-shirt though, available, I believe, only this week. So get it while you can.
John, that was smooth.
Anyway,
like that.
I'm trying to get a little bit better at that. Okay, QAnon wasn't the only thing that was discussed at this rally, although it popped up constantly. This is one of the most fascinating videos I've seen in a long time. Take a look at this.
Trump is the first guy that was a businessman. He was not a politician, right?
And he's getting a lawsuit against him.
Whatever. I love this guy. Oh my God, he is so cute.
Donald Trump does not run,
DeSantis will.
So tell me, you like DeSantis?
I don't like any
party. You know what I'm saying?
You don't like
I'm
any?
Not I'm not Trump
more. That Donald Trump supports,
right,
so you'll
right,
vote for
right,
them.
Right, right. What do you think? What do you think?
Okay, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. We Can I interview your friend Facebook. Now?
We're on Facebook.
Hello, Facebook. Nice to be on your Facebook. What's your name again? It's
Rose.
Rose. All right. So Rosa, what are you looking for today?
I am looking to support the Patriots. I don't know. Patriots.
Drive the hog.
You drive a hog?
She's badass.
Yeah.
I love you, dude. What's your name?
I'm David.
David. Yeah. From where?
Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, we found out that she's looking to support the Patriotics. I can speculate about what else she's looking for. I don't like people talking about hogs in the middle of that conversation. I do love that video in every way but one. And that is that the camera person needs to circle around, because I gotta see how bad David Schuster is blushing during this whole thing. Like, how are you gonna let him hide his face? He must have been beet red. That woman, like, there are a lot of claims about people who don't give an F. Most of them do. She doesn't give an F. She goes hard in everything, JR. What do you think?
Yeah, what she does give is a multiple bruise, maybe a couple of. I feel like she's I get trouble for saying this. I like to say it this way. She drinks a Tom's Collins every once in a while. She definitely looks like the type of person who drinks Tom's Collins. And I know it's Tom Collins. I like to say Tom's.
Because it's his Collins, and we want to give Tom credit for that.
I don't even know what's in a Tom's Collins. I just picture an old lady down in Florida drinking Tom's Collins. Apparently, this was not down there. But this is the thing. That whole thing switched. I didn't get to mention this on my show. I meant to say it. The whole thing switched once he asked her, so who do you support? Some details about why you maybe support someone. It switched really fast to, you're cute. Oh my God, what's your name? Isn't he cute? Is he married? All that stuff came once some answers had to come based off of her beliefs, why she's sure. there. Because the real reason that she's there is for the Bud Lights, the Tom's Collins, and also the community. Don't forget that part. During COVID, all these conservatives were complaining about how people are isolated in their houses, which was a problem. There's many studies about people's mental, their depression coming up and issues with not being around other folks. We're a relatable society. They found their community. And it's wrapped around this entire belief system of hatred for one particular group, this the election being stolen from their God. And this is fun. They're having fun. It's a tailgate. So they're enjoying themselves. They get drunk, go listen to Donald Trump say nonsense that they're not listening to, and then they move on and go to the next event.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a social thing. Like, if you want to meet people who, you know, like are like you in a lot of ways, you know, they believe that Jewish bankers control everything in the world, and they too think that Chrissy Teigen drinks baby hormones or whatever. Where are you gonna meet those people? There's no box you can check on OkCupid for that stuff. I keep emailing them about it, but they won't change. So you go to these rallies, and that's where you meet some nice people. Also, that second woman was really excited to find out that David's from Connecticut. And as a guy also from Connecticut, I'm a little bit worried right now. I'm not going to any of those rallies because I don't want to trigger anything.
Well, apparently she got lib kids that are from there too, something like that.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, really fast. Let's play this third video. We'll give you our response. Let's start with this.
Without a religion or without any kind of religion or basis of religion in the US, the country will fall apart.
I think there was just a poll that said that 61% of Republicans think that we should declare United States is a Christian nation.
Well, I wouldn't have any problems with that. I mean, everybody's, it's a freedom of religion, is, you know, so.
And heck, Biden administration now is trying to recruit atheists to vote for him.
What's wrong with atheists?
Well, and they're going to find out real hard when they die what's going to happen.
Oh, so if you're atheist, if you're not a Christian believer, you're in trouble when your life is over. Is that the?
That's my opinion anyway, yeah. Okay.
Should that be taught in schools, or should it just be up to individual families or churches?
Oh, I think once they took God out of the school system, that's the issue we have now. I mean, the CRT and the transgender BS that are trying to push on the kids.
Okay, so you did see in those great interviews that David Schuster did at this Trump rally, head over to Rebel HQ to watch the full videos on a number of other topics as well, that not all of the people at the Trump rally believe that America should be a Christian nation by declaration. They're not all Christian nationalists, not at least not in the way that a lot of the MAG movement is, but others 100% believe it. They do not believe in religious liberty. They will occasionally use the term, to be clear, if they feel like their ability to push Christianity on other people is being limited in some way, they will assert their ability to dominate by claiming that that's religious liberty. But when it comes to the rights of Jewish people, you know, Muslims, Jains, Hindus, they're not interested in that. These people will never be fully American, let alone the atheists. There's apparently something wrong with wanting atheists to vote for you. And let me be clear, I'm an atheist. I voted for Joe Biden. I don't remember Joe Biden ever specifically trying to get me as an atheist to vote for him. That's not actually a thing, JR.
It's really weird how that works. This is the other thing. Your belief system is that, you know, you're a Christian, Jesus saves, you're going to heaven for believing in him. I'm willing to bet that a significant percentage of people don't even realize that. But if then the atheists are going to that bad place once it's all over and done with, shouldn't you be comfortable? Shouldn't we not have to worry about what they're doing here? Why would we care what they're saying to their kids? Why would we care what they're saying to our kids? Our kids are protected by God, the all-powerful being that we believe in. What is the fear about? Why are you fighting? God is gonna take care of it, right? That's what's taught, right? God is gonna take care of it. Why are we still concerned about it? They're going to that bad place that we don't have to see and deal with these people ever again. Take comfort in it, go live your lives, be happy, and stop fighting. What are we fighting for? The fight has already been won by Jesus. What are you still fighting for? It's not about that at all. They don't care about someone going to hell. They don't care about this post-life debacle that they see coming. They care about right now. This is what they care about. They don't really believe in the things that they've been talking about. It's a way to say, I'm righteous, I'm better than you. There's a supremacy issue with these folks. Whether it's white supremacy, male supremacy, or your Christian supremacy, it's always about how much better they are than someone else. And I can't wait to kill you for me being better.
Yeah.
It's really weird how that works.
Also, finally, a little closing note as an atheist, it is frustrating when you make a claim knowing that it's impossible for you to realize that you're wrong, because the first opportunity you'd have to know it, you're dead and there's nothing after death, and so you can't realize that you were wrong. That's frustrating as an atheist. But also, I think it's important, Brett occasionally brings this up, we need to understand when we have actually something in common with our enemy. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about the Trump fans and the Democrats. So I would reassure the Trump fan, you don't think that I'm, because I'm an atheist, that I'm as moral as other people. I want you to understand that many Democrats believe that too. Lots of Democrats in positions of authority would be very uncomfortable if you were to ask them about atheists. Many of them agree that there's something suspect and immoral, unethical about atheists. So can't you guys get together, have a drink, and talk about how much better than atheists you are? I'm trying to bring you together, people. Anyway, with that said, we do have to go to our last break. We are way, way over, but we'll be back with more news after this. Okay, let's see. Pixelated Bunny says, in my D&D campaign, I play a bard. I polymorph our tank into a Tyrannosaurus Rex, then the artificer enlarges it. That's a great combo. I'm gonna have to work on that. Anyway, with that said, we're at very low time. Let's jump directly into this.
Would that woman who decided to have an abortion, which would be considered an illegal abortion, be charged with murder?
Okay, let's go back to the basic question there. Is that a human being? Is that a little boy or girl? If it is, it deserves equal protection under the law.
So you're saying yes?
Yes, I am.
That is Doug Mastriano, who the Republicans have chosen to be their nominee to be the next governor of Pennsylvania. And I want to give him credit for being honest about what he believes and about the implications of what he believes, because he is pro-life, not actually pro-life, but that's what they call themselves. And they believe that abortion is wrong, that you are killing a person. And if you believe that, and if you believe in capital punishment, the overlap there being basically a perfect circle, if you believe that you should be killed if you commit murder, if you believe that ending a pregnancy is murder, then yes, you think there should be consequences and the woman should be charged. And so I will give him credit on actually admitting that. I will give him credit on literally nothing else, because that is a barbaric way to live your life, a barbaric thing to propose you do to someone, that a woman choosing to exercise control over her own body, exercising the rights that she's had for more than a half a century, guaranteed by the Supreme Court, should be locked up for the rest of her life or killed by the state. That is an insane thing to say. But credit on the honesty, because a lot of them honestly do believe this. If they don't, then they have deluded ideas about the attachment between different policies and values. But many of them do, and they find it inconvenient that you should understand what it is that they believe. Occasionally, they're honest, especially with someone as crazy as Mastriano. And so, JR, I'm just glad that he's a candidate for this one reason, because he makes it so difficult for the other right wingers to hide what they really want the next steps after the death of Roe to be.
Yeah, both him and Lindsey Graham, they're actually giving the real principles of the party, the things that they're trying to avoid having people hear them say. But yeah, no, this is the whole thing. And by the way, if this is the number one thing, hey, we're going after baby killers. There's Republicans, there's conservatives, there's elected officials that have participated in the killing of babies in the same way. Do we think that it's never happened? Let's go back and to look at all their records, look into people's medical records, because the number one thing here is to make sure that we protect babies, not just the ones that of political people that you dislike, but also people that you agree with. Let's uncover those wolves in sheep's clothing, those Republicans that participated in the same right. Let's go ahead and pull off the veil. All the men that impregnated women that believe in the same things Mastriano says he believes in, let's get them too. Let's get everybody. Mm-hmm. Why should we just have it based off of one little thing? This is about the children. Let's look into everyone's medical records and get all of them then. I have a feeling they won't do that part.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. If you've ever paid for a mistress of yours to have an abortion, you just hired a hitman. That's what you do. According to your logic, you should spend the rest of your life in jail, if not be executed. Following your logic. Anyway, do we have more than 3 minutes? Do we have a few minutes to potentially talk about? No, we don't. We have 2 minutes. Okay, then we'll talk a little bit more. So importantly, this is Pennsylvania, which I looked it up. Do you know what they have in Pennsylvania? They still have the death penalty. Now, it is true that they have not actually used it, but it's on the books. Now, it's true that Mastriano says that he couldn't rule by fiat. And that is true. He could not unilaterally, as governor, make it a capital offense for someone to end their pregnancy. But he wants to be the leader in the state there. You know, this is the sort of candidate that is being elected. And so you need to understand the two roads that they're traveling down when it comes to this policy. There is what they'll admit that they believe, and there's what they'll actually work towards. So when they spend decades and decades trying to kill Roe, and then the second Roe is killed, they're like, well, that's all we wanted. We didn't want anything else. we're not extremists or whatever. You get to decide if you believe that. That whole organizations, whole candidacies that have been based on this topic, that they're gonna be satisfied right now. No, every single one of them that enters a position of power is another person that's gonna be a vote to strip these rights away even further.
But don't forget. Sorry, go on.
No, I was gonna say, what comes after it being illegal is because these people, that's all politics has been to them. They're going to want greater punishments, okay? It is not going to be enough for the doctor to lose his license, to go to jail. They're going to want more than that.
And again, not because they believe in it, but because this is political expediency. They can look like higher than thou, I'm better than you, I'm following my God, and therefore I'm still superior to you, and therefore you should vote for me because I'm going to carry out those superior beliefs. Who cares if we practice it? I just have to look like I'm a better person than you. But in reality, because of the hypocrisy, you're much, much worse.
Well, that is unfortunately all the time that we have for this first hour of the show. So if you have been listening to the podcast, watching on one of the linear platforms, as always, thank you so much. By the way, if you are listening to the podcast, consider rating and reviewing it at Apple Podcasts. It helps for discoverability, and it's effectively the only thing that lets new people discover the podcast. So that would be much appreciated. However, if you are listening on Twitch or on YouTube, the members app, a bunch of other platforms, we've got a lot more to talk about, including a rare moment of honesty from Matt Gaetz. We've got these crazy updates on what's going on with Russia and Ukraine and potential acts of sabotage nearby and more besides. So don't go anywhere. Jaron and I will be back after this. See, Kyle Cushing sent in a super chat saying there's more reality in John's D&D game than these Q people's heads. By the way, when is a TYT host D&D session happening? That would be great. I really do plan on it happening at some point. I also agree. Last night in my D&D campaign, I turned into a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I have a better grasp on reality than the woman with her thoughts about kid hormones being drunk.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.